the breast will get kissed. Igor, have you watered the brains today, Igor?
Please just steady on now, steady on. Bonzo Dog Band and their interpretation of the classic Boris and the Crypt Quicker 5 Monster Mash number there. Perfect way of actually going out of the news. Wonderful. OK Online, a gentleman who we featured a wee while ago, as Tessa will acknowledge, a chap who was born and raised in the village of Raiden, situated in Suffolk, a county in England. We've heard the magical scenario there since he was inspired by rap music, a method of performing rhymes, easy choice. Enough of such stuff. It's the legendary Jake Aldridge. Jake, welcome to the programme. How are you, sir?
Hi, Alex. How are you doing? You OK?
Splendid, and delighted to touch base with your good self. And also, it means we can actually go logical or illogical. It's like a Star Trek celebration. See what any sort of Spock scenario on that sort of particular basis. Now, jumping straight into the whole thing, introductions. Tessa, I think you spoke to Jake before.
I have. Yeah. I definitely remember your name. So
exactly. Very close to the whole system. In the Clouds, featuring Kelly Brooks, was the number.
That's right.
That's the one.
It was very chilled out. Yeah. It was very relaxed.
Valentine's Day, yeah.
And we kind of floated away in the sea of sort of reverie. Hannah, I don't think you even cared for the wonderment that is Jake Aldridge.
No, but I'm looking forward to getting to know you.
Hi, Hannah.
Yeah. Hello.
And fresh from the delights of North Carolina in the United States of America, in the studio because, well, I asked her and, you know, she wanted to sit and observe. But no, it's the awesome Cassandra Edmiston.
Hello.
Hi, Cassandra.
Okay, so this is a crucial one, Jake. I mean, obviously no pressure, but it's the first time we've actually released your single across the airwaves to a citizen of the United States of America, albeit North Carolina, but this could be critical. You know, I mean, where Cassandra's really, she has a finger on the pulse of this. Would you like to share with us what the backstory is to Illogical that we're about to hear in a few seconds?
Yeah, sure. The producer of the track is a guy called 92, who is based in Bristol, and someone I've worked with for many years now. And we were always looking for a way to kind of switch our sound and to kind of, you know, build on what we've kind of had with that kind of chilled out R&B/hip-hop kind of vibe. And we always wanted to do something which was slightly more commercial, perhaps slightly more upbeat. And he sent me the instrumental for this track, and I absolutely loved it. He said to me when he sent it, you're going to love this or you're going to hate it. And I said, no, I really, really love it. And started working on the song. I got Helena involved, who's a vocal coach from Suffolk. So it's really great to have her involved with the track as well. We're just really happy with the way it turned out.
I think that would suggest we should actually play it. What do you think, Tess?
I think we should.
Jake Aldridge, Illogical, featuring Helena.
So we're up and down like a yo-yo, up and down like a yo-yo. plus you is mix and match, and it's a fact we're quick to crack. You blame me, but it's tit for tat. I go to work, you're kicking back. No telling whose house you'll be keeping at. You're an itch, I'll scratch, hit the latch. Let's change the record, play a different track. No second thoughts when we hit the sack. It's blinding, but I want my vision back. In your trap, you'll drink to that. Don't talk about our future, I think it's black. We both know it's a no-go. Never better than so-so. We're up and down like a yo-yo. Up and down like a yo-yo.
I'm just the host on the program. I just have to facilitate matters. Let's go straight to Hannah Brown. What did you make of Illogical?
I enjoyed it. It's different to what a lot of music I normally listen to, but I did enjoy it, yeah.
100,000 plays online. Jake has wrapped up now. And his music is currently being played on four British television channels.
Four.
Oh. Well, Tessa.
Oh, I really like that. The beat was brilliant. And I could just imagine that in a club, actually, just going on in the background. I think it's a really good one to dance to.
I'm thinking more kind of Miami Vice detective scenarios, etc.
Yeah,
that sort of thing,
no, I really enjoyed it.
But as you know, Jake, clearly the casting vote today could go to CE herself. Cassandra, what did you make of Illogical?
I liked it. I think it's like a driving song. I think I just want to drive when I hear it.
Thank you so much to you. Just wait in a traffic jam if you're sort of arriving around Lincoln at this particular time. Like, don't worry, it's all fine. You know, it's nothing to panic about, nothing to worry. It's the midweek drive on Sign FM. Tremendous, Jake. One slight mini challenge, I must admit. Looking at your website, and I was slightly saddened by this, Jake. I'm sure it's not your good self. I'll have to have words clearly, though, with the awesomeness that is Tony McDonough from Manila PR, because I see that in the section which is interviews, we have check out Jake's recent radio interviews. Do we have Siren FM mentioned at all? Tragically, no. This is not good enough, Jake. You know,
should be there, shouldn't it?
Well, I mean, you know,
I need copies. You know, I need to download it afterwards. This is always the best way.
You know, we've got Funky SX, we've got Ava Live Radio, we've got Galaxy Radio, we've got a whole. You know, this is outrageous, isn't it? Really.
Do you know what it is? I'll be honest with you. I upload the tracks from Mixcloud. And with Mixcloud, you have to have it a certain length. And unfortunately, you guys don't interview me for long enough. So next time you have to get me for half an hour and you go straight there to the top.
Clearly, we need to expand, enlarge the Jake Aldridge feature.
We should just do a whole show.
We should. You should come on the
just
show.
Just do Jake songs all through the show.
Suffolk is not that far away from
I've travelled it.
I went to Kent last night for an interview, so I'm happy to travel around. You know.
Exactly. In fact, I can almost hear Jake writing a rhyme already in a rap motion about Harwich. You know, I think that would come true. Sort of work on that basics. Classic stuff. And Jake, have you ever been to North Carolina?
I haven't. No, I've been to the only place I've been in America is New York.
Nice. Cassandra.
I'd love to travel all over, to be fair.
Yeah.
Set this record straight, no pun intended, with a musician, because obviously it should be set this CD state, or set this MP3 download track straight. why should Jake make a beeline for North Carolina? What parts of North Carolina should he actually go to be fully influenced by the scene, so to speak?
Oh, wow. Well, you have to hit up Raleigh. That's our capital. Charlotte's the biggest, though. It has a pretty good music scene, night scene. But you have to stop in the mountains. Asheville's very cool. It has a lot of craft beer, trees, mountains. It's beautiful. And then you can go all the way to the coast and hit the beach. I mean, there's everything in North Carolina.
I'm sure. I'd absolutely love it.
Yeah, there we are. And that part of the program is brought to you by the North Carolina Tourist Board.
I think she sold it well.
Hannah, questions for Jake from yourself.
Yeah. Do you have a favourite song that you've worked on recently?
I do, yeah. I've got a song which is called Fireman, and I've actually finished it months ago, but I've not put it out or released it because it's almost like my baby at the moment. I'm too scared to let it go because I want to save up for some proper PR and promotion to really kind of do it justice, if you know what I mean, because I don't want to, we've put so much effort into it, we've got a music video for it as well. I don't want to kind of just release it and it not do much, do you know what I mean? I kind of really want to give it the best possible shot because I honestly feel like in 10 years of making music, it's like a standout track for me.
This is some fantastic sort of line that we will be obviously anticipating it with eagerness and relish. Tessa.
Thanks so much.
Cool. Okay.
Any thoughts from yourself?
Yes, I'd like to know who your musical influence is, because obviously you're quite into the rap and R&B scene. So who were your influences when you first began to sort of write?
I think when I first started out, I was heavily influenced by Tupac Shakur. I think mostly because, obviously, like his subject matters were always so real, and I really respected him for that. And I think more so he was always a lyricist to me. He wasn't really much of a producer or a musician, really. You know, he was more a pen and pad type of writer, and that's exactly what I am, really. So I guess I could always relate to that. In recent times, I've been more into kind of like Nelly. I'm a big fan of B.O.B. and Nas, and I mean, I'm still kind of mixing genres, I feel, with regards to the kind of hip hop and the R&B, because I think that when someone listens to my music, you wouldn't necessarily categorize it as typical hip-hop, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Skipping back to earlier in the programme, we just forgot to read out a Penny Evans contribution to the ghost talk that we were actually having.
Oh,
yes. Apparently it's her subject, anything supernatural. She's seen a few ghosts in her time. I bet you have, Penny. One was her pet cat that she missed a lot.
Pet cat? Oh, really?
She was purring beside Penny one night. I'm reading this out, Jake, because it could serve as an inspiration for the next sort of musical piece, really. I thought it was a listener correspondence. Ghostly piece on that point of view.
Sure, you never know.
Yeah, exactly. Pete, of course, Penny's husband, whom she was dating then, saw a flash of tabby one evening out of the corner of his eye. Oh. I'd best not say that's a euphemism, otherwise it could get into dreadful, dreadful sort of messages here. But apparently Tabitha used to check out Penny's boyfriends and didn't approve of any of them.
Okay.
Maybe it could see something. She couldn't.
Since that experience, she never returned, so obviously approved of Pete. And, of course, Pete and Penny got married for over 13 years.
Happy ending.
Exactly.
What we want.
Worth the story, just for that alone, really.
Yeah.
Genius stuff. Yeah. We're working through the routines. Sean Kelly will clearly be joining us next up. It's not a competition in terms of this, but Sean's got another interesting line that he's going to be sharing with us. Hannah, would you like to put those last two questions to Jake Aldridge? No relation to the former Liverpool footballer John Aldridge. Something that needs to be clarified here, because easy mistaken. But go.
Okay. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
It's been great. Yeah, I really do appreciate all the support. And again, since the last release as well, you know, it was really, really great to come on and speak to you guys.
Oh. We're there for you, Jake. That's an important thing. We like to think we're there for you. You know, we'll be
we'll
in your
support
corner.
You.
Exactly.
We will.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm still going to hold out for that half an hour. The front page.
Yeah. And the next one, which I think we've kind of already answered, is...
And will you be joining us again soon?
That'd be fantastic, yeah, no doubt.
Hurrah! Bring in the engineers!
Indeed, what is wrong with that, you might well say. Particularly as we actually head off now to the sheer wonderment and delight of another audio missive from San Diego, or just nearby San Diego, with the truly legendary and awesome Annette André. Welcome, Annette. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Who was that singing?
That was Paul McCartney singing.
Yes, it sounded like...
Former Beatle chap, used to work with a band called Wings, and actually had a number there called Silly Love Songs, which was one of their 70s releases, and then emerged in Give My Regards to Broad Street. But that's just by the by.
Right.
Anyway, quick introduction. In the studio, we have the delightful Tessa Snart.
Hello.
We have the equally wonderful Hannah Brown.
Hi.
And from North Carolina, because she's over in England for a term doing all sorts of wonderful things, we have Cassandra Edmiston.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah.
Welcome.
So, crossed all sorts of fields there. Annette, what would you like to share with us this month?
Well, I've got one here. It says, why couldn't I alight the nine horse? I heard that plaintive cry rise up above the roar of the crowd many years ago at the famed Santa Anita racetrack in Los Angeles. It was shouted out by Tony Roma, owner of a popular L.A. restaurant, seated in a box just below the one I was sharing with friends. And I watched in fascination as he tore up a large handful of losing tickets and hurled them into the air. The nine horse, an impossibly long, long shot, had just romped across the finish line, three lengths ahead of the favorite. Tony's explanation for his bad luck at not being able to predict the future had to do with Maloko, the evil eye that someone had imprinted on him during his Brooklyn childhood. This colorful explanation from a very colorful character only sidesteps what even the most skeptical among us are forced to admit now and then, that something called pure luck exists. Just as we put it down to a lucky or unlucky roll of the dice, where we're born or to whom, most of the good and bad things that happen to us usually get dumped into one of two repositories, religion or fortune. Recently, the television news here has been chock-a-block with violent scenes of devastating floods and tornadoes laying waste to large regions of America. Called the Heartland and the Bible Belt, traditionally conservative enclaves, the citizens of these areas are most likely quite comfortable with placing religion at the epicenter of all happenings in their lives. If a tornado levels a huge swath of the buildings in a town, but spares the church or a school, it's invariably proof of the hand of God at work. Should the storm destroy the church or school, it's only another example of Satan still skulking among us. And alternatively, either Mother Nature or just plain dumb luck was or was not smiling on the situation is the explanation of choice for those of little or no faith. In Arabic, Inshallah begins or ends every sentence where fate may play a hand. I'll see you tomorrow, Inshallah. If God wills. As words go, it has a lovely, almost mystical Welsh lilt, and you wouldn't be thought overly generous if it sounds almost like something one of the Beatles might have injected into the middle of a lyric. But, and not meaning to be a spoiler, the true sense of the word has it that everything in our lives already has been written. I'll always weigh 30 stone, no matter how I starve myself. No free will there to either pass on the slab of death by chocolate or inhale the entire cake. In writing my memoir, I'm negotiating another lifetime to finish, I've been constantly surprised at the number of times I've said how luck played a role in my life. Before actually counting the number, I was a firm believer that, like Oprah Winfrey has said, we make our own luck. She's convinced that she had prepared for all the success that's come her way by sheer perseverance and faith in a higher power. Luck rated not even a walk-on. As I've said, there was a time when I might have agreed with her. But as the years have gone on far enough for me to turn them into a lengthy past, I'm forced to differ with that grand lady. A glance over my shoulder points to a crowd of events where pure, unadulterated luck dropped out of the blue, where my hand played no part in the dice coming up sevens. A few examples. I was bedridden as a child with a severe lung problem. The doctor told my mother that exercise, well, something like walking, roller skating, would help to keep my lungs clear. Instinct instead led her in a totally different direction, one she knew nothing about, and she enrolled me in ballet school. It not only made me physically fit, but was the making of my career. Another time, luck threw a spotlight on me, was when I was performing on an Australian variety show, one of a dozen dancers. During a break in rehearsals, I was off stage tying my shoe when Benny Hill arrived to rehearse his act. I heard him tell the director that the girl he usually worked with had suddenly been taken ill and he needed a replacement. He glanced off, spotted me, and that chance sighting led to several years of my performing with Benny and a treasured friendship. This last example is proof positive that not only does pure luck exist, but that it travels well. A year on from Tony Roma's misadventure with a nine horse, I was in London on the phone with my husband Arthur, who was calling me from L.A. He was going to Santa Anita that afternoon with some friends and wanted to know if I had any premonitions worthy of a flutter. Long story short, I proceeded to handicap seven races, not by the horses' numbers or names, but by telling Arthur the colors of the winning jockey's silks. When Tony heard what Arthur was relying on in betting each race, he roared with laughter. "Okay," he shouted from his box. "Who does she like in the third?" Arthur looked at his program, scribbled with my color chart picks, and said, "The two horse." She was a 40-1 with no wins. "You and your wife get free dinners for a year if that nag even finishes," Tony said, shaking his head gleefully at Arthur's folly. Out of respect for his memory, you don't need to hear how this story ends, except to say that Tony was a man of his word. Arthur and I happily ate our way through his glorious menu, all the while withholding from him the incredible fact that I had picked the winners of 6 out of 7 races, some 5,000 miles from the starting gate, and with nothing more than dumb luck. And what about reversing luck? A favorite film of mine is called The Cooler, starring Alec Baldwin and the marvelously consequential / inconsequential Bill Macy. Macy plays the cooler, a man with a negative aura the size of the Milky Way, sent out by the casino management to a gaming table where a player is on a hot winning streak. Within minutes of his taking a seat at the table, the house is once again in the black. Well, according to insiders, this isn't fiction. Apparently, there are men and women on casino payrolls with the ability to give Lady Luck the bum's rush. And who's to argue? Only a cooler places a bet against the house. That's it for today.
As if we needed any more. Absolutely sensational as ever. Luck, we make our own, surely. We create our own magic. I think that's to open it up to the team. Cassandra, do you believe in luck? Is there a sort of North Carolina version of luck that you actually sort of say yes?
I mean, I believe in luck, but I think you kind of make it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hannah?
Yeah, I believe there's luck. I mean, I know you can do what you can for something, but luck's always involved in a lot of things.
Exactly. I mean, that, Inshallah, Mike Batt had a whole sort of song called Inshallah, which is obviously tying into the whole thing. Tessa?
Yeah, I'm the same. I believe in luck, and I also think there's that saying where you've got to be in the right place at the right time and all that kind of thing. But sometimes I think there's luck there, definitely.
Yes, I think so too. I just want to say something at this point, that being an animal lover as Arthur and I are, and you're questioning why I was at the racetrack horse racing.
No,
and
we
all
weren't,
that.
Annette. We knew it was the rationale. But no, look, when you,
I want to just say that this happened many years ago. This happened way back in the 90s. And that, in fact, that time when Arthur bet all those horses for me, was the very last time we actually went to the races.
Got to quit while you're ahead.
At that point,
exactly.
We helped to we started to find out exactly what it was about. So, no, we never go near a racetrack anymore.
Yeah,
that's a whole range of things. I thought you were going to say we won sufficiently on that sort of basis to buy several houses, and we didn't need to return any more. All good. Annette, we've been talking obviously about the wonderful technique that came over from America. Of course, once again, trick or treat, Halloween, and so on. Mm-hmm. Tessa, you're intrigued by the sort of ghost question, which you wanted to put to a few of our correspondents. So,
yes. Yes, so have you ever encountered a ghost or sort of seen something or thought you've seen something out the corner of your eye?
We could spend considerable time, which Alex doesn't have at the moment. I have had too many incidents, really, and not where I thought I saw.
Right.
Definitely saw. And had really quite
the spirit world have Annette on speed dial. That's amazing.
You must have a special power or sense where you can just see these things.
Even now, there are people.
No, it can happen. It can happen to anybody. You don't have any. And quite honestly, you know, you don't play around with it.
No,
you
no
really
definitely
don't
not.
Play around with it. Yeah.
Oh, I like to feel so.
One day, perhaps when when I get my book out, or at another point, you'll hear some of
the No, I'd like to hear some of these stories.
If only from a perception of don't be frightened, these are disembodied voices coming to you from the radio. Okay? You find something. What? You hear voices all the time? Yes, you would. Moving on from that perspective, Hannah, would you like to put those last two questions to Annette Andre, please?
Okay. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Oh, yes, of course. Always do.
And will you be joining...
trick-or-treating or not?
No, is the short answer. No. But we are going to see Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, the musical, at the Lincoln New Theatre Royal.
Right.
So it's going to be very exciting. Not a great deal of Halloween stuff out there, but we will report back in the fullness of time with respect to Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, the musical, which is very good. Final question.
And will you be joining us again soon?
Oh, I hope so.
That would be post Thanksgiving, actually, and or pre Thanksgiving, or certainly in the Thanksgiving month of November, and so on. Annette Andre,
post Thanksgiving,
post-election. Oh, please, you'll have a new president. Don't get me started.
Oh, dear.
Do not get me started.
Wait.
extraordinary and unlikely to feature on Word Perfect at 8 o'clock this evening with Christopher Clark, in which he'll be discussing the world of poetry with guests on Siren FM. Last week's show, a particular cracking one, because he featured Professor Jason Whittaker, of course, former Midweek Driveout, who will be returning to the show in November. Jason was, of course, talking about William Blake. Before that, at 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock, that's right, 7 o'clock UK time, Eclectic Pulse with Lucia Coxon. Is actually on the whole sort of sign and airwaves. All wonderfully following the awesomeness that is Los Angeles' finest cultural correspondent, perceptive commentator extraordinaire, Phil Leonis. How are you, Phil?
That's all I get as an intro.
I know. Well, I thought we'd go minimal for a time, you know. We've got a North Carolina ambassador in the studio. I think she's done very well, he says. You're nodding, Tessa.
I am.
You've been duly adopting Cassandra Edmiston as another Midweek Drivette. And how long have you been with us on the programme, Phil?
Oh, since, what was it, 2011?
Exactly. And still doesn't get time off for good behaviour. Anyway, moving on. I noticed Chilpack Hollywood this week has got a wonderful Victorian horror scenario to access and all sorts of things. In case you're wondering what happened to Sean Kelly, we don't know. We were getting his voicemail, so Sean has had to be tucked to one side. Obviously, he heard the wonderful Jake Aldridge and couldn't compete.
That will be a future, what happened to Sean Kelly will be a future ghost story.
It'll be in the news.
Generations to come on the Midweek Drive.
Exactly. These are the kind of areas. Now, Phil, in your cross-country tours, have you ever checked out North Carolina?
Well, I'm glad we're starting there because, of course, I do have a ghost story I've never shared with you that I'll share with you on the show. I have much to say about the concept of luck. But I wanted to start in North Carolina. Of course I've explored North Carolina. I think this is a loaded question. I think you knew this, Alex. Of course, I have filed several reports. I don't even know what that means because there's no paperwork and no filing system at all that you use. But let's say that I've filed some audio reports from, of course, South Carolina on several occasions. So I know North Carolina mostly just as that state I drive through, I take trains through in between going from Virginia to South Carolina and back. Though my lady, Lily Holloman, is quite familiar with Asheville. So it's a part of the country that I love, though I must say most of my detailed exploration has been in South Carolina up until now.
I'm sure Cassandra will forgive you. But, you know, again, it's a case that she's been getting the mobile phone out with all sorts of photographs. She's been just commentating on the joys of Fahrenheit versus centigrade. All those wonderful American scenarios.
And in fact, a future film that I'll be making, a mystery film, the mystery begins at a place you probably know, Cassie, if I may call you that.
Nice.
South of the border? Do you know south of the border, Cassie?
No, I don't.
Oh, my goodness. It's right on the border between North and South Carolina, and it is the most kitschy, cheesy, appalling place, and I absolutely love it. Look for the giant sombrero.
Oh, perfect. I'll definitely go there.
Send the message to your mother now. Forget Paris, forget Dublin, check out the giant sombrero. It's a critical thing. Anyway, where do you wish to take us now, Phil, in the remaining 10 or so minutes that we've actually got before we have to sort of up sticks and move off to see Dirty Rotten Scoundrels at the new Lincoln Theatre Royal?
Well, why don't I share this ghost story with you? As you know, Alex, I made a ghost film,
Spectres.
A science fiction paranormal film, yes, Spectres. And there was, I'm sure, I know I've shared with you before, the bizarre happenings that took place when we first tested the film at an old historic theater in Hollywood, and I was visited by a ghostly personage while that happened, and that story became the basis of a Discovery show here in the States. But while we were making the film, it was an odd circumstance where we knew what kind of movie we wanted to make. There had been no script yet. There'd been an outline. But we'd been given a partial green light, so given some production money based on the outline and the concept where we were going, so that we could develop the script and start getting into production quickly. So what actually happened was the main location for the film was locked down before we ever wrote the script. What was great about that was we were able to then write the script geographically around the peculiar nature of this location, which aided in filming no end. Well, after while I was location scouting, an odd thing happened. I went down into this really scary basement in this house. I was alone, and on the second to last step from the bottom, I suddenly, it's like my right leg locked up and was pulled out from under me, and I fell just in a heap, only two steps, so no injury. I didn't really give a lot of thought about that. During the production, odd things would happen, but then after we had completed the film, I brought a sensitive, someone who I actually had great respect for, to come to the location and just see if she could know, without being told, some of the things that might have happened to the crew. And we started on the top floor of the house, and she looked in this one bathroom, and she was very, very, she started to shudder, and she said, someone's killed themselves in this bathroom, in that tub. And I said, no, I don't think so. And so we left, and then we came back, and she goes, really, I see a young woman, you know, staring at her scars in this bathroom. I said, oh, you're getting my film from me. You're getting the story from me. That's what happens. Someone, a young lady kills herself in this bathtub in the movie, not in real life. And she goes, are you sure? And I said, yeah, no, that's my movie. That's not real life at all. And we went on through the house and some other things. And finally she hit me with this question. Did you have access to photos of the house before you wrote the movie? And I flashed to our writer's workstation, and indeed he had pictures of all the rooms around his computer when he wrote the action that was going to take place in each film. So to leap ahead, I find out that, in fact, yes, a young lady had killed herself in that bathtub, and that's why that bathtub was there. It had been in another part of the house, and they moved it. So she was on to some really interesting stuff. By the time we got to the basement, though, she stopped on that second step, kept looking at the step, kept looking at me, and she said, someone reached out and grabbed you by the ankle and tripped you down these stairs, didn't they? And I said, maybe. And she went through and she told me what she was getting from the basement, which was no longer scary, interestingly enough. After we were done shooting, it was no longer scary. And she said that there was a wheelchair-bound man who had lived there for many, many years, and he had made a living by teaching piano lessons to people. And he was still there. And he was now in much better spirits because the gift I had left the owners of the house for letting us have complete run and care of this house for so long while making this film, I gifted them a piano. And where did they put it? They put it in the basement where this previous owner lived. So he wanted me now to know that he was very thankful for me. So that's my experience in that house.
And that's just part of the wondrous world. Wow. So the music bed from the Twilight Zone, Twin Peaks, that sort of opened that up. Hannah, that wasn't too scary for you, was it?
No, it wasn't too scary. I was just astounded a lot of the time. It was, a very interesting story you're telling us, but I'm almost speechless. I was
Hannah
enjoying it.
Is literally speechless for the moment. Exactly. Tessa?
That was, wow. I think that tops everybody's stories.
Well,
of,
that's why we're saving for this part of the show, let's be honest.
Last to least, yeah.
Back on that one. Wow. Cassandra?
Oh, yeah, that story definitely wins. That was a good story.
That was.
The story wins. The storyteller has won.
Success. I love that my cat, Fuzz Aldrin, has been howling since I started telling that story. I like to think it's because she is, though, cats cross over. They live in both this realm and the next. And, of course, it's after her feeding time. So those things all combine for why she's howling at me right now. Do we have time to talk about a little luck, Alex? Because with a little luck, we can work it out. We can make this whole darn thing work out.
With a little luck, we can show the world exactly we can do a wings moment. Take it away, Phil.
I wanted to take up the part of what Mike Dooley probably would have said were he listening to that conversation. He would, of course, point out, yes, there's luck. Yes, there's what we call luck. The foolish notion is that there's anything such as good luck or bad luck. There's just luck, and it's always what we make of it, and we're incapable of being anywhere other than where we are supposed to be at any given time. That does not mean we're always going to be where we would prefer to be, only that we are exactly where we are meant to be to see and experience the things that will best serve on our unfolding as unique individuals. And indeed, what Annette is thinking about when she looks back on her life is so many things that could have been taken as, ah, bad luck, right? Ah, you were sick as a child. Ah, isn't that too bad? Well, no, it led her exactly where she was meant to be. And I think that this is the most important theme, and I, like I said, I take up the Mike Dooley-esque portion of the show with this theme, but we really always, wherever we are, it's so easy to react, you know, with that knee-jerk of, ah, bad luck, or, ah, where's the cooler, ruining my luck, instead of asking, okay, how does what is unfolding right here, right now, how does it serve me? It serves me in some way. There's an opportunity for me to learn something about myself, about the people around me, about the place where I am. The challenge is the same, whether we get good luck or bad luck. How deeply can we connect to ourselves and to the challenges before us? And if we do that, when we look back on our life the way that Annette did in such lovely fashion, we will see that a beautiful tapestry has been woven. And when you start to pull at the strings by saying, oh, but if I'd only not had that one case of bad luck or this case of bad luck over here, well, then the whole tapestry will unravel.
Speaking of which, Cassandra, a number between 2 and 27, please.
12.
Oh,
that was quick.
Very, no mess with that. One of the reasons why it's shone out from that point of view.
You know how the wind, no matter how blustery, remains as silent as it is invisible until it meets with leaves and kites and flags and such? Well, it's exactly the same with the manifesting forces that make dreams come true until they meet with expectation. And right this second, they're whirling all around you. My little chiquita. Happy everything, the universe.
Indeed. Not even a PS, but a chiquita.
The universe. No, because the universe already called me a little chiquita. It's so creepy. and I'm not going to take it personally that right after my poetic, vocalization about luck, the Mike Dooley selection that's chosen begins with the words blustery wind. I'm not going to take that personally. No.
Nor should you, Phil. Nor should you. So, the program has taken us from Jersey through Nashville, right the way through Jake Aldridge in Suffolk and Annette Ander in San Diego and Phil Linus. But the big question, of course, is what has Cassandra's experience been? Phil, I don't know if you want to quiz Cassandra. Obviously, you're on first name terms now. Just take this a couple of stages
for me. Cassandra, can I call you Cassie?
Yeah, I go by Cassie.
Cass.
All right.
Did you enjoy your debut appearance on the Midweek Drive?
I did. It's been fun. It's been interesting. Very cool.
And can we look forward to having you grace the Siren FM studios again in the near future?
Maybe once or twice.
Well, it sounds like she's not going to let anyone know when that's going to happen either. It's going to be a surprise drop in, Alex.
Yeah. Surprise.
It's all there. Apparently, Penny Evans has just put the post up. Mike Dooley is a philosopher.
Oh.
Okay. Exactly right on, Penny. And, go for it.
And Colorado is a river. Exactly. Geronimo was a Native American.
Yes. Okay, great. So tremendous stuff, Rin. Hannah, have you enjoyed your time on the production this evening?
Of course I have.
No, you're not back tomorrow morning because you'll be waiting for a car parking space.
Yes, my mum and younger brother are coming to visit. So when they get near Lincoln, I'm off to find a car park space somewhere near me that hasn't been painted in double yellow lines.
Let me keep us abreast of the fact. We'll announce it on air if you have managed to.
Yeah, I'll call in and just be like, does anyone know where a car parking space is in Lincoln?
Central
put out an appeal.
Always wonderful. Tessa, you're back with us tomorrow morning?
I will be. It might be a bit later. It might be 9, but I'm still going to be here.
Ben Lewis will be around. We'll be doing all sorts of marvellous things as well. Okay. But, of course, Phil needs to have those last two questions put to him. So, Hannah, go for it.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Of course. It was great fun. And I enjoyed actually making it in time. Didn't listen to much of the show today. That was quite a treat.
The Los Angeles Breakfast Club calls and all sorts of other things there. Incidentally, Cassandra, have you ever been to Los Angeles?
No, I'm not. Flights are really expensive.
So clearly the campaign is self-evident, Phil. You need to sort of start campaigning now with Dean and Lily to actually get Cassandra across to the other side of the land in North America. States of America.
You know, Los Angeles actually does do a pretty decent job of advertising itself. I mean, it's not lacking for a marketing budget.
Good heavens.
I think people know about it and they know where it is. It has a reputation. I try to just stay out of
it. Does it have giant sombreros? somewhere. After all, we've given Hugh Laurie a place on the Hall of Fame now outside Hollywood, so he's sorted through there.
Do you know what I heard quickly the other day?
If you're asked
to have a star on the Walk of Fame, you pay for it.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I didn't realise that. And it's a lot of money.
It is.
Well, that's how it happened. It's not a big honour.
I thought it was.
It's a money maker. It's how the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce makes their money.
Yeah, I guess so.
They sell the little space and someone has to sponsor you.
Makes sense.
Which is why it always happens, for the most part, in conjunction with someone having a movie opening or a new television series, because it's politics and it's campaigned for and paid for by whatever studio has money to make off the free publicity from having the star.
Okay. Next week we will find out whether Lois Snart and possibly Hannah Brown have indeed accessed Cat's Paw. Or indeed, tomorrow is yesterday in terms of the ongoing Star Trek appreciation thing. Larry has sort of emailed me to that extent. He will be checking out on good stuff.
I mean, that is the kind of... That's the kind of teaser that's going to make sure everybody tunes in.
Do you think so? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be hosting a program from Blackpool Star Trek Exhibition, the home of the Starship Enterprise Bridge, on Saturday morning this week. So it's very exciting. Look for the Facebook pictures. But Hannah still hasn't put the second question to your good self. We've had the first. Go for the second.
Will you be joining us again soon?
Not only will I be back on the show, but I'll be listening with great interest to find out if indeed Alex crosses that bridge when he comes to it. Yes. See what I did there? Thank you very much.
That was outstanding. Don't forget, of course, next week our clocks go back. Bear in mind time zones. So calculations.
What does that mean? It means math.
At this particular time next week, it will actually just be coming around to 9 minutes to 6 o'clock, as opposed to 8 minutes to 7 o'clock.
We'll explain it to you in a bit.
We will.
Cassandra's going to have a little sort of concern moment now. We'll get it all sorted out. All you need to know, as far as science is concerned, is Eclectic Pulse is coming up, followed by Word Perfect.
I believe so, because we drop back. It makes it easier.
According to Camo, they don't actually move back themselves in the States until November the 6th.
Oh, good, so we are closer. This is good.
After Halloween. George W. Bush did that. He pushed it to after Halloween as an effort on evangelicals' part to kill Halloween reveries. Because, you know, the kids need darkness to go out and trick-or-treat, and they wanted it to stay lighter, so they can't do that. Yeah.
Thanks to Camo. Thanks to
And we won't have a new president. We won't have a new president in November, Alex. It's president-elect. We don't get a new president until January 20th.
Of course. Absolutely. Well corrected on the basis of the American Constitution, because in Britain it's only unwritten. Spice Girls taking us out of this particular production. Thanks to Cassandra, to Hannah, to Tessa, indeed even to Penny Evans and the rest of the team, Camo, Anna, and yourself, dear listener, as well as Jake Aldridge, Annette, Andre and Phil Leonis. That's it. Can we say bye-bye?
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.